This is Standing Watch. And now, evangelist Norbert Link.
Well, greetings, everyone. And welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Should true Christians participate in New Year's Day's celebrations on January 1? In order to answer the question, let's go back into history and let's find out a little bit about how January 1 became the day when people are celebrating the New Year's. Now, I am going back to Wikipedia, and it says the following. The Romans dedicated New Year's Day to Janus, a god of gates, doors, and beginnings, for whom the first month of the year, January, is also named. After Julius Caesar reformed the calendar in 46 BC and was subsequently murdered, the Roman Senate voted to deify him, in other words, made him a god, on January 1, 42 BC, in honor of his life and his institution of the new rationalized calendar. The month originally owes its name to the deity Janus, who had two faces, one looking forward, the other one looking backward. This suggests that New Year celebrations are founded on pagan traditions. But not just on pagan traditions, but they were done in worship of a pagan god. The website of Torah Musings wrote this, January 1 as New Year's Day has a clearly pagan origin. It is quite clear that on a historical level, Catholic Europe celebrated New Year's Day religiously for centuries. Will Starr, another website, wrote this, New Year's Day is a national holiday celebrated on January 1, the first day of the new year, following both the Gregorian and the Julian calendar. While early celebrations were more paganistic in nature, in other words, they were pagan, celebrating earth cycles, Christian tradition celebrates the feast of the circumcision of Christ on New Year's Day. Now, this goes back to the concept that Christ was allegedly born on December 25, which he was clearly not. And so then they came up with January 1 as the day of his circumcision, which, of course, he was most certainly not circumcised on January 1 either. History.com wrote this. Romans celebrated New Year's Day on January 1 by offering sacrifices to the Roman god Janus, exchanging gifts with one another, decorating their homes with laurel branches, and attending parties. But they were quite interesting parties, obviously. In medieval Europe, Christian leaders temporarily replaced January 1 as the first of the year with days carrying more religious significance, such as December 25, which they claim was the anniversary of Jesus' birth, which of course was nonsense. Pope Gregory VIII reestablished January 1 as New Year's Day in 1582. Now notice carefully what the U.S. News and World Report wrote on December 23, 1996. In 46 BC, the Roman Emperor Julius Caesar first established January 1 as New Year's Day. Janus was a Roman god of doors and gates and had two faces, one looking forward, the other one looking backwards. Caesar felt that the months named after this god, January, would be the appropriate door to the year. Caesar celebrated the first January 1 New Year by ordering the violent killing of revolutionary Jewish forces in Galilee. Eyewitnesses say blood flowed in the streets. In later years, Roman pagans observed the New Year by engaging in drunken orgies, a ritual they believed constituted a personal reenacting of the chaotic world that existed before the cosmos was ordered by the gods. As Christianity spread, pagan holidays were either incorporated into the Christian calendar or abandoned altogether. Now, obviously, New Year's was incorporated, like Christmas was, like Easter was. After William the Conqueror, also known as William the Bastard or William of Normandy, became King of England on December 25, 1066, he decreed that the English return to the date established by the Roman pagans, i.e. January 1. This move ensured that the commemoration of Jesus' birthday, December 25, would align with William's coronation, and the commemoration of Jesus' circumcision on January 1 would start the new year. Now, all of this, as I just explained, is of course not biblical at all. William's innovation was eventually rejected, and England rejoined the rest of the Christian world and returned to celebrating New Year's Day on March 25. But that's not the end of the story, because about 500 years later, in 1582, Pope Gregory VIII decreed that the new year would begin with a date set by the early pagans, the first day of the month of Janus, January 1. Throughout the medieval and post-medieval periods, the article goes on to say, January 1 was reserved for anti-Jewish activities, synagogue and book burnings, public tortures, and simple murder. The Israeli term for New Year's night celebrations, Sylvester, was the name of the saint and Roman pope who reigned during the Council of Nicaea in 325 A.D. The year before the Council of Nicaea convened, Sylvester convinced Constantine to prohibit Jews from living in Jerusalem. At the Council of Nicaea, Sylvester arranged for the passage of a host of viciously anti-Semitic legislation, and I might just add, not just anti-Semitic legislation directed against the Jews, it was directed against anyone who, for instance, kept the Sabbath. The Sabbath was outlawed at that time. It had to be replaced by Sunday. The article says, December 31 is Saint Sylvester Day. Hence, celebrations on the night of December 31 are dedicated to Sylvester's memory. Now, if that doesn't strike you as being already enough for not celebrating January 1, a day which was obviously originally designed to worship a pagan god, we have prepared a booklet. Is that in the Bible, Man's Holidays and God's Holy Days? Now, in this booklet, we also address New Year's Day. And we also refer to an article in that booklet, which was published in a German magazine, PM, many years ago. I have a copy of this article here in front of me. It has several pages. That's just one page. And, of course, there are quite a few pages with interesting pictures. Here's another one, talking about all kinds of New Year's celebrations and observances. And in quoting from this article, which I translated into the English, I'd like to say this. Between Christmas and January 6, the ghosts became active. When winter storms howled around the houses of the Germanic tribes, Wotan or Woden's wild hunt was present, a frightening train of gods, demons, and ghosts of the dead. These ghosts were driven away by big fires and cracks of whips. The ancients placed sacrificial offerings and gifts for the demons in front of their doors. Christianity could not eradicate those pagan customs. Quite to the contrary, the cracks of whips changed into the invention of black powder to fireworks. If you ever wondered why we have fireworks on December 31 and January 1. Why do we still have to drive away symbolically ghosts with mortar shots or mortar shots and rockets, this article points out and asks the question, why do we still maintain those New Year's rites? Psychologists explain this with the power of tradition, with superstition. This word reminds us of what is standing above, what is still there, what has endured from the pagan past and from the ancient fears of man. So far, that article. Pointed questions are being asked. Now, in our booklet, we also go on to say that the article explains that Christian celebrations, Christian quotes, in Munich, Germany, on New Year's Day are held with choirs and trumpets to awake the new sun. Now, again, the Bible has a lot to say about sun worship, but I'm not talking about the worship of the sun, Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the worship of the sun as in idol worship kind of a thing. Our booklet continues that another source tells us that New Year's Day rituals included purifications, exorcisms, extinguishing and rekindling fires, and masked processions. Often exorcisms were performed with much noise, as if to scare away the evil spirits. Knowing all this, learning what you have learned today, will you participate in New Year's celebrations on December 31 and January 1 this year? Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by The Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California, 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.